This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 94, Turning Day into Night. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 94th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about a technique that I learned in photo school a long time ago, maybe about 100 years ago. And basically, that technique is turning day into night. And I believe this technique may have been inspired by a Truffaut film called La Nuit Américaine, and it was translated into day for night. So the technique is often called day for night, and we're going to talk about that today. But before we get into today's podcast, I always like to thank people for their comments on our last podcast, number 93, where we talked about the qualities that make a good black and white image, and Cat, Wicked Dark, and Sean T, I believe I did get your name right this time, Sean T, all left comments. And thanks so much for doing so. As always, we love to get comments, and our preferred way to get them is directly in the blog, photography.ca/blog. Of course, you can also leave comments on the forum. Just make your way to the forum on photography.ca, or you can just send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. Okay, so let's just get right into today's podcast, and basically it's called Day for Night, and it's used by a lot of fashion photographers and wedding photographers, and it's really a very simple technique. At the end of the day, if you want to make the day look like night, you could just underexpose a little bit, and that'll make it look darker. And although we're calling it a day for night technique, it might be more aptly called a day for late afternoon, because you're usually not making it look like night, like 9 p.m. You're usually making it look more like a later afternoon or early evening. But anyway, depending on how you play, you can make it look however you want. So basically, by underexposing the background, it's a dirt simple technique. You underexpose the background in the afternoon, it looks darker. But where it gets interesting is when you start adding flash to the foreground model. So I'm really going to talk about this podcast in relation to taking portraits. But of course, you can take info from here and apply it to many different situations. But anyway, why do this for portrait purposes? Well, sometimes when you want your model to pop from the background, and part of that background includes sky, the model is accentuated when the sky is darker. In addition, sometimes we must shoot basically when we get the chance. Like when you're covering a wedding, but the wedding party only hired you for 3 hours from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. in the afternoon. So basically, at that time, it's really, really, really bright, and it may be hard, depending on the location you're in, to separate the bride and groom from the sky if you want a certain shot. So this technique can come in handy there, and in a lot of other places as well. So basically, a darker sky adds a drama and mood to many portraits, and that's primarily why we're going to use this technique. Now, the easiest tried and true technique, in my opinion, is basically just going old school manual. So basically, you set your camera on manual mode, and you meter your subject. Now, you can meter the subject with a camera meter, with an incident light meter, or a gray card reading. Now, a gray card reading, or an incident light meter reading, may be more accurate in this case. Why? So first off, an incident light meter reading means that you are metering the scene using an incident light meter, which measures the light falling on the subject. A gray card reading means that you would place a gray card in the scene, you would move your camera to the gray card until it filled the entire frame. Whatever exposure is in your camera at that time is the exposure you set. Why might those two methods be preferable to an in-camera meter reading? Well, basically, especially because this model may be placed against a sky. As we well know, your camera meter is a measuring for average tones in a scene. And when it sees a lot of sky, it may unintentionally underexpose the scene, which means that you may have to open up. So basically, your goal here is just to get a base exposure for the whole scene. Anyway, this is not a metering podcast. I'm going to assume you already know how to meter. So basically, just meter the scene appropriately. And in order to get that sky darker, underexpose the scene by 2 to 3 stops. You can do it more, you can do it less, but 2 to 3 stops is generally recommended. So let's just say your meter reading, however you measured it, was 1/60 at f/16 at ISO 200. Well, one of the rules in portable flash portrait photography is that your portable flash lights the foreground subject. So even though camera newbies in stadiums might think that their point-and-shoot flashes are going to light their favorite singer on a stage from 300 feet away, that ain't so. Portable flash lights the foreground because it doesn't have enough power to light the background. It only lights the foreground. So back to our example, our meter reading was 1 over 60 at f16 at ISO 200. If we underexpose the scene to darken the sky by 2 stops, we will get 1 over 250 at f16 at ISO 200. Now the sky is darker, but if we simply take the shot this way, the model is underexposed as well. So now we will add portable flash to light the model. Since the correct exposure for the scene that we metered originally was 1 over 60 at f16 at ISO 200, all we have to do is plug the f16 into the flash in aperture mode, and now the model is lit against the darker sky. Pretty simple. For my test, I used the SB800, but any new or old flash on automatic mode will do the trick. I like automatic mode for this because I know the aperture I want, so I just dial it in, and as long as I'm in the range of the model, it works well. For teenier adjustments from this point, I can use exposure compensation on the flash, up or down. Now, one thing you need to be aware of, especially on older cameras with older flashes, there is a top sync speed in which the camera and flash can work together. And that top sync speed is often, not always, it's often 1 over 250th of a second. And you cannot exceed that shutter speed or you will notice some banding in your photographs. So on a really bright day, your exposure might well be, 1 over 250 at f22 at ISO 400. Now, since you are already at the maximum shutter speed here of 1 over 250, you can't underexpose by going faster on the shutter speed. If you do, you'll get that banding. So the best option in this case is to reduce the ISO by 2 stops. Since you are at ISO 400 and you're in manual mode, by reducing the ISO to 100, you're underexposing the shot by 2 stops. And then, as we mentioned, you just dial that exposure into the flash on A mode and you are set. If by chance you are already at the lowest ISO your camera can handle, you're already at the maximum sync speed, and you're already at the smallest aperture, there's really nothing left to do except put a neutral density filter on your lens. And that can totally solve your problem, but it will make it less bright in your viewfinder. For those with newer cameras and flashes, this limitation of a top sync speed may well be defeated with a high flash sync. Depending on the wired or wireless system you have, you can even take the flash off camera for like better lighting patterns and still maintain high speed shutter sync that is, you know, over 1/250th of a second. You can go up to any speed the camera will allow at that point, but you must be sure both your flash and camera can do it, and you'll need to check your camera manual for details. And one last thing I wanted to mention is even though that I'm old school with this technique, it can work with TTL metering as well, and I basically did a test shot on my roof with my wife and it worked great, where basically I just set my camera on aperture mode, flash was on TTL on camera, I metered the scene, and using exposure compensation on camera, I underexposed the background by 3 stops, and then I just added 2 stops of exposure compensation to the flash set on TTL, and it did work great, so I encourage you to try both these techniques and see how they work for you. And I did take an image or two for this podcast, and you can totally check the show notes for the image. And I believe that's all I got to say about day for night, or making your daytime photographs look like they were taken in late afternoon or night. If you have additional comments or techniques or opinions, I'd love it if you would comment on the podcast, and you can do so directly in the blog, by email, or on the forum on photography.ca. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you are lurking on our forum, please join in. It's a really, really friendly forum. We take pride in our friendliness, and we love to learn and share our photos. The assignments just went up this month, and our regular assignment is Show Us Your Parks. So we all have cool parks that we frequent and love to photograph in. Let's see them. Show it to us. Show us your parks in a great light. And our level 2 assignment is going to be a macro or close-up. So if you don't have a macro lens or extension tubes or anything like that, just take a close-up shot. Get whatever lens you have and get as close up as you can and take a close-up shot. But try and be creative and feel free to post as many times as you like. That's it for this podcast, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. If you've never tried that technique of turning day into night, why don't you give it a shot? Get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.